Hello, and welcome to Pixel Recess. It's been a while. How you doing? I'm sure you all enjoyed your break from me, as I enjoyed a break from being me. Well, no, I was still me. I enjoyed a break from having to come up with words to say and questions to ask for a little while. But I'm glad to be back. I'm glad you're here. I hope you're listening and you will enjoy this. Well, of course you're listening. If you're listening, you'll hear those words, and that's pointless to say out loud. I feel refreshed and invigorated, and the unscheduled holiday break is over, and more episodes are upon you, like a jackal in the night. Right now, I am recording in the parking lot of my kid's school. I thought that I might have a lot more time than I do, but that's seeming to be increasingly difficult to find time. I've tried to buy time. I got some gift certificates for it for Christmas, but it has not helped. I still don't have enough of it. So if any of you have extra points or an Amazon gift card for time, I would be great. I could use it to find more time to do this and edit the episodes together. On today's show, we have the multifaceted, multi-talented, very funny, and surprising guest by the name of Kurt Brownell. Or most of you probably don't know who he is. Some of you may. He's been involved in some surprising and very large projects over time. Unfortunately, I forgot to hit record at the beginning where he talks about his father was an ad man working on the new Coke recipe and Crystal Pepsi. And how that influenced him is where we end up on the show. But I apologize for my indiscretions and not recording right away. Big mistake. Bad me. So bad. Such wow. Anyway, today's show is brought to you by gift cards and fart walls. Let's just hurry up into the interview with Kurt.
For quite a while, and bars were about to shut down, and all of a sudden everybody started racing to try and order cocaine before everything kind of shut down. And he was like, you know what, this, I love this feel, I love this vibe, this desperation to get this thing into my mouth and nose. What if Coca-Cola could take a page from cocaine, late night cocaine ordering, and we could have the Coke race? So it's a Coke race, but it's during the day, and it's like with Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and some other Australians. And but it's very similar, it's same name, Coke race. And that's kind of where that concept came from.
And how did that influence you, do you think, in what in your design?
Well, you know what? Dad always said, if you're going to do Coke, do it right. And that's why he wanted to design Coke so well. And I always took that into my life. You know, I've done a bunch of different a design. Have you ever seen there's a car wash on 172nd Street and Amsterdam Avenue in Manhattan. That's just it's called a whale of a wash, and it's an old-timey whale spouting bubbles. Mm. That was my first design.
Nice.
And a lot of people said, where'd you get the idea for the old-timey whale? I didn't. It's literally a piece of clip art that I just found. But it was my idea to add the bubbles coming out of his head, which was a big problem with actually a lot of PETA, a lot of animal rights organizations. They're saying, you know, if children try and force whales to blow bubbles out their blowholes, they're going to hurt the whales. And I had to write a whole letter and saying, I honestly don't think children are going to get access to whales. And if they are, that parent has a bigger problem than having that child feed it bubbles.
But there was a slight controversy with kids going to the beach and throwing all of their bubble bottles into the ocean, hoping that a whale would swallow it.
You know what? I'm going to be upfront with you, Paul. Yeah. I think that was overblown by the media.
Right.
I know it happened in a few cities, but it was an epidemic like the media made it out to be. They made out to me seem like I was a monster. You know, the ocean's very dirty. And so,
yes.
Do you know how many animals in the ocean every day?
All of them.
All of them.
Well, what we learned is that the children are the true monsters. Your name origin, it doesn't mean chasing brown bears, correct?
I think it means fetcher of brown things.
So a fetcher of brown things meant you guys worked in the sewers?
Yeah, either hauling shit or moving dirt or slave trader. I don't know.
I've also heard oil.
There we go.
Well, you're from New Jersey, so exactly. Lots of oil in the hair. So this is going to maybe touch some buttons that you're not ready to talk about, but
I love touching buttons.
Yeah, we all do. That's why we work in design.
Yeah, but don't push them. Just touch the buttons. Don't push my buttons.
No, we'll just swipe your button. I have heard that you may or may not have been responsible for the Gap logo.
Now, listen. When you say responsible, did I create it? I did. Was I responsible for it? I don't think so. Because let me tell you what happened. Is I had a crazy night. I had been up pretty late drinking with a few friends and had to go in the next day. And I was like, I didn't have anything for Gap. And I was big presentation, as you can understand.
Yeah.
And I was sick. I wanted to vomit on like walking into to Gap, the offices. And I said, you know, I'm going to run to the bathroom, ran to the bathroom. And I took like a giant shit, like one of the biggest shits I've ever taken. But here's the deal. Only wiped once. And when I pulled up, the Gap ad was right there. I just slapped it in the portfolio, walked right in there, king for a day, you know, only one wipe, king for a day. I walked right in, put it down. They bought it in the room. And I walked out with $2 million in cash because Gap, that's how much Gap pays for quality design.
And, well, it was gift cards at that time, right?
It was $2 million in gift cards to Gaps.
Yeah.
Which I ended up never using.
Right. Well, half of them were baby Gap.
That year was tough because I starved. If you could eat Gap ones, baby onesies, I would have been living large, but you can't. And I definitely tried.
Yeah, it brings up the whole controversy of, you know, people working in for trade. Which, you know, it's hard to eat clothes.
You're a graphic designer. I mean, we are on the upper levels of the most useless skills. Do you know what I mean? Like all of everything we do would completely be okay if every graphic designer stopped existing. Do you know what I mean? It would look all ugly. Everybody would be sad.
Right. We may not know what exit to get off
of. People wouldn't know how to answer their phone even.
No. They wouldn't.
Because it would just look like...
noises.
Looked like Microsoft. I feel like... Is that what happened with Microsoft? Where they just were like, fire all the designers. Let's get a few computer programmers to design our interface.
Correct.
What's going on, Microsoft? You have billions and billions of dollars. You can't afford a few hundred million to pay good designers design for you? Or is it just that no good designers want to work for Microsoft?
I mean, what would the world be without designers except...
Chicken scratch.
Yeah. That's not a good font.
We'd all just do handwriting.
Yeah, handwriting and chicken scratch are both terrible typefaces, yeah.
Yeah.
So, speaking of typefaces, if you were stranded on a desert island and could only pick one typeface the rest of your life, which would you choose?
Andel Mono. A classic typeface. It's always at the top of my list because my list goes alphabetically. Andel Mono is always up there. So I got to go with Andel.
Which begs the question of what you would be designing on a desert island, but it doesn't matter. I would label trees. You would, because how would you know what tree is what?
I'm assuming I have a Brother P touch.
Or the, what's the strip that you type on?
To punch it out. Where you have to actually punch out.
Yeah.
Nope, I don't want that.
No?
I want Brother P touch.
All right.
I'm not on a deserted island in 1970.
Who is the funniest designer, or the funniest design, actually, not designer? What is the funniest design out there right now?
I'm going to have to say the new iPhone design on iOS 7. Did Japanese teenage girls get in charge of designing the new f***ing iPhone apps? Everything is huge. Everything's big and bright because I think they think kids like that. They made the iPhone a toy. It used to be like a sophisticated thing that you felt cool. You felt like you're in the future. Now it's like just this f***ing plastic toy.
Although, would you call that funny or would you call that cruel?
I call it sad.
Windows 8 is pretty hilarious. It's got all the squares and the triangles, you know?
Yeah.
With shapes.
They use the shit out of those squares.
They love their shapes. So you're a man that travels a lot.
Yeah.
How would you improve design on airplanes? And I mean, not just in the literal graphic design form, but the design of the airplane process.
Is it like, remember, like train stations were always built really beautifully. And then they got to airports and they're just like, we've given up. We don't care anymore. And it looks like the maintenance hallway of a mall in 1984.
That's right.
You know, what is it about an airport that prevents people from cooking food properly? Like any place you go to It's you can't every food every piece of food you get is either microwaved or is a hot plate. Traveling all the time is the worst.
I can't. Have you seen the device that prevents the person in front of you's chair from going back?
That's insane. People figure out that that is a thing. That will be a thing that stops existing.
Well, apparently you're supposed to hand the person a note. They give you pre-printed out notes to hand to the person and be like, I'm going to prevent you from putting your seat back. I apologize if you have an issue with this, but I'm very tall and it hurts. It's called the knee defender. That's what it's called.
The knee defender.
I'm not kidding. All right, Kurt, we're going to have one more question. Tell me about the original concept you had behind Elf on the Shelf.
I was sitting with my nieces and nephews one year, and I was thinking, is there a way to introduce a general concept of fear and mistrust? In a way, prepare them for the surveillance state that they are growing up in to be completely comfortable with the idea that they every second of their day will be recorded and watched by someone who will then judge them. I reached deep into the nightmare bag for this, and I said, what about an elf that just sits and watches?
Well, I thought originally you had said the clown on the shelf.
It was originally a clown on the shelf, and then it went to one-eyed homeless girl doll on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And then I settled in with Elf on the Shelf because I saw this movie in the 80s called Poltergeist, in which that elf-like clown doll tries to strangle the boy to death.
That's right.
And I thought that would be a great thing to kind of institute in everybody's house. But hey, let's connect it up to Christmas. Let's say this elf works for Santa. And he's always going to be watching you. And he's going to tell Santa, you know, you'll get gifts or you won't get gifts based on how good you are when I'm not in the room. At first, a lot of people were upset about it. And then it started selling like hotcakes. And I think people just love surveillance.
Did you write the book or was it ghostwritten?
No, I wrote the book.
Okay.
I wrote the book, but I did it with my eyes closed.
Oh, phantom written.
Yeah, I did it with my eyes closed, and then I sent it to a professional writer. Because when you write with your eyes closed, it's essentially just stripes and gibberish. And I said, just try and figure out what this is. You know, in the same way that Frank Gehry designs buildings.
With his eyes closed, yeah.
Just scribbles like 500 circles in a row and then gives it to someone who has to work really, really hard to actually design the building for him. That's how I did this book.
But nobody knows. That's the true nature of an artist, though. Most of them do everything with their eyes closed.
And and often just a bunch of scribbles.
But it's where inspiration is from, in the scribbles, in the nonconformity of rules.
A lot of people don't know that the Greek word inspire, which is the root word for inspiration, means to scribble about.
Well, Kurt, I appreciate you being on the show today, and I know everyone else is very appreciative for learning so much.
Well, I know. I think we really got down to a lot of truths about the world.
Yeah, and about Germans. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Kurt. You can find out more about Kurt, and you can follow him on Twitter at Kurt Braunohler. Braunohler spelled Braunohler. You can also search for his comedy album on any platform you wish, iTunes, RDO, Spotify. It's called How Do I Land? It's hilarious and amazing, and you should find it and listen to it. He also has his own podcast called The K-Hole, or The K-Ole. It's a wonderful podcast. Kurt is hilarious, absurd, and insane. I thank Kurt so much for being on the show. And next, please visit this show on the web at recess.unitedpixelworkers.com. You can also find the show on Twitter at Pixel Recess. And above all else, go to iTunes, search Pixel Recess, rate and review the show. It's really awesome when you do, because then other people can find it. Because, as you know, iTunes is a nightmare to find things in. You know, let's remedy that. Rate and review, and let's make shows that are current and going on. And speaking of rating, there's only a few days left, I think, for you to vote for this show for an actual award. TheNetAwards.com. Go there. Look for the podcast area and type in this show, please. Pixel Recess, why you like it, your email. Do it no less than 27 times or we will all have failed. And the gods of the underworld will come out of the surface and destroy the world if we do not get this show an award. That's what I've been told by the voices. So many voices. Anyway, thank you for tuning back in. Next week's guest will be Dan Rubin. I've been on a Dan streak. That's why I put Kurt in the middle, just to break up the Dan streak. Dan Rubin is a charming fellow, and you shall be charmed by his word mouth talk. Again, thank you all for tuning in. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week. Bye.
Daddy's podcast is dumb.